Can we turn in our Bibles to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy? And we're going to read from the first chapter of that epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're reading from the very first verse of the epistle. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and reading from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, but I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord lad is blessing to the precious word of the living God. Let's unite in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for the scriptures that we have learned. We thank thee, our God, for Timothy, who learned these things from a child and was trained in them. And our God, we pray that no matter what age we may be, that we might be trained and built up in the scriptures of truth. Apply those scriptures to our hearts now and comfort our souls as we think upon thy word, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. In the story of creation in the book of Genesis, we read that Adam and Eve had been forbidden to eat of the fruit that was of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And we read how after they had done so and committed sin, God was searching for them. You remember how they hid themselves from the face of God. But we read that God came down and found where they were. And finally, as he finds them, he goes in and he asks them why they are hiding. And it is interesting to remember the response of Adam to God. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid. And I think that that story reminds us that there is something basic in human beings that makes us fear. We experience, to be human is to experience fear. Fear is something that is demonstrated in every aspect of our lives. In fact, we seem to be afraid of everything. We are afraid of ourselves. We are afraid of other people. We are afraid of the future. We are afraid of the present. We are afraid of life. We are afraid of death. The one-time U.S. President Herbert Hoover stated, and I quote, "The dominant emotion everywhere in the world is fear. This applies to every part of human activities, finance, industry, farmers, workers, thinkers, and government officials." So we see that fear is prevalent amongst us in this day. But the message of the Bible time and time again is, fear not. Do you remember how when Abraham had abandoned the security of his home in Ur of the Chaldees, and had come out of that country not knowing whither he went, and was going to a new land, and was coming to a place that he did not know, God came to Abram and said, "Fear not, Abraham. Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." When the Jews stood on the banks of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's chariots were on the horizon coming down upon them, we read how when they were in danger of being slaughtered, Moses brought the message of God, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today." When the angel of the Lord told Mary that she was going to have a child and that she was going to bring forth a child who would be named Jesus, the angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Or you think of the disciples after, or the women who came to the tomb of Jesus after the resurrection, and they saw the angel and the guards stiff with fear. But the angel said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified." So the message is, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And that is something that we can learn from God's precious word today. Every person, every Christian must fight their own fears. Even Paul the Apostle experienced fears. We think of him when he came to Corinth, and it says of him, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears." And Paul was full of fears. He was just like you and me. Fear of his inadequacy. Fear of failing. Fear of the future. But in many ways those fears are crippling. There are many perhaps here today, no doubt here today, who could be of use and service to God, who could do something for the Lord. But the thing that is stopping you is fear. And we see here how Paul writes to Timothy, and in verse 7 he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And it is that text of scripture that I want us to take today. I want to think about facing our fears, and I want us to see how God has an answer to our fears. Now, a number of things about fear that I want you to see as we think of facing our fear today. And the first thing I want you to see is the definition of fear. You notice what the text says here in verse 7. "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." Now, the word that is translated fear there is not the usual Greek word for fear, phobos, but it is a word that means cowardice here, or timidity. Now, that is the sort of fear that God wants to deliver us from. Now, remember that there's a contrast to this fear, because there are fears that we should have. There are fears that the Bible does not condemn. You think of the fear of danger. We should fear danger. Franklin Roosevelt, the former US president, once said, as a famous saying, "There is nothing to fear but fear itself." Now that sounds very good, but you don't have to think very long to realize what a lot of rubbish it is. Because there are things that we should fear. You're not going to teach your children to go out into a world and have no fear. Why, there are paedophiles out there, and there are rapists out there, and there are murderers out there, and there are all sorts of evil people out there. There's a fear that we should have. There's a fear of danger. Fear is protective. Fear like that is something that God has put into the hearts of people. And it's not wrong to have a fear of danger and some of the situations that we get into. And that fear is something that causes us to flee. It's a natural reaction that makes us flee from danger. So I'm not talking about that kind of fear when it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Not only am I not talking about the fear of danger, but I'm not talking, when I'm speaking about fear here, about the fear of destruction or the fear of damnation. You remember what the Lord said in Matthew 10 and verse 28? He said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him." So there's a command of God to fear. "Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If you're not saved today, there's something that you should fear. You need to fear. You ought to fear. There is a destruction that lies ahead of you. There is a damnation that lies in front of you. And you know, some people think that we shouldn't frighten people into turning to the Lord. But I want to say that it'd be far better for you to fear that now than to suffer for all eternity in a Christless hell. There is the fear of destruction. And men, women, especially those of you that are not saved, you need that fear. You need to fear what lies ahead of you if you die outside of Christ. So fear of danger is not what we're talking about. Fear of destruction, damnation is not what we're talking about. Neither is it fear of the divine or fear of the Lord that we're talking about. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So there's a sense in which if you don't have this type of fear, you're not wise. You don't have sense if you don't have that type of fear. And the word fear there in that context is actually the word reverence. It speaks of a holy awe. It speaks of that desire to reverence God. And that is something that's commanded in the Word of God. Something that perhaps we have lost a sense of in this day in which we live. That sense of holy reverence. And that awe as we come into the presence of God. Now, that fear doesn't contradict the love that we have for God. It is nothing, there's no contradiction between loving God and fearing God. In fact, the people that fear God in this sense of awe and reverence love God all the more. So there's a contrast to the type of fear that we're talking about today. It's not fear of danger. It's not fear of destruction or damnation. And it's not fear of the divine or fear of the Lord that we're talking about. Those are fears that we ought to have. But then, what is the character of this fear? We've seen the contrast to the wrong type of fear. But what is the character of the wrong type of fear? Well, already we have said that it indicates cowardice or timidity. It's the cringing type of fear that restricts us. And we have all sorts of fears like that. A psychology class went out one time to do a survey. They surveyed 500 people about what things they feared. And they came back and they found out among the 500 people, there were 7,000 things that they feared. Well, this world is full of fears, full of phobias of all types and kinds. In Psalm 91 and 5, the Lord says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth at noonday." We are not to fear those things, and people are filled with all sorts of fear. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody here today, and you're filled with worry and filled with fear about what is going to happen. Maybe you're fearful about the ordinary things of ordinary day life. Because the Lord one time was speaking to people who were like that. They're wondering where the next penny was coming from, where they would get food, where they would get clothing. And he said to them in Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, he said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There they were, all full of fears about tomorrow, all full of fears about the financial situation. And of course, the financial situation's not good today. But in the midst of that, the Lord says, "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And you know, we are full of fears, and naturally, perhaps so. Fears about tomorrow, fears about the financial situation. But thank God we have one who can take away our fear and is able to meet our fears and is able to deal with those fears. So we think of the character of fear here. It's a cringing, cowardly, timid type of fear that the Lord wants to deal with. But then I want to think about the danger of fear. There are a number of things that the Bible indicates are dangers that arise from this fearful attitude. Now, the first is bondage, or getting into a trap. If you turn back to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. It's a well-known verse anyway, so you'll know it. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. It says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." In other words, when you are fearful, the fear of man gets you trapped. It gets you into bondage, gets you restricted, gets you so that you can't do the things that you want to do. And of course, the fear of man is a very powerful thing. It is a fear that doesn't want us to get out of step. It is a fear that wants us to be like other people, to do what other people do. It makes it hard to preach what is an unpopular doctrine, to go against the worldly wisdom of the day, to go against the things that the world thinks. And there's many a policeman has turned a blind eye for fear of the crowd. And many a judge who has perverted justice for fear of the crowd. And many a preacher who has preached lightly and softly and preached what he should not have preached for fear of the crowd. And many a Christian who has compromised what they should have been doing for fear of the crowd. And worse than that, many an unsaved person who's rejected the gospel for fear of the crowd. And the Lord says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But that bondage is stupid. We should not be fearful of man. We should fear God. Many people today have got it the wrong way around. They fear man instead of fearing God. But the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 15, he said, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We shouldn't be fearful of other people. We should be willing to nail our colours to the mast. We should be willing to stand up for Christ and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a bondage that comes as a result of fear. And then there's something else. There's a blight that comes as a result of fear. Turn back to our text of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1. What I'm talking about here when I say a blight, you know, like a blight that comes on the potatoes and stops them from growing, or a blight that comes on a plant and stops it from reaching its full potential. That's what I'm talking about when I speak about a blight. There's a blight that comes from fear that stops God's people reaching their full potential. Now you'll see this in the portion of Scripture, because you'll notice that wee word in the text, "for." "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And that's a joying word and makes us think about what has gone before. And you'll notice what the verse before says. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." What was Timothy afraid of? Well, Timothy was a young man. He's obviously a very gentle type of a sensitive type of an individual. He naturally would have had fears in his heart. He was the type of person that maybe would have been full of fear. And what Paul is saying to him is, he's a talented young fellow. Paul is able to say that. But he is not reaching his full potential. He's not doing the things that he ought to be able to do and the things that he should be achieving because of fear. And maybe today you're not reaching your full potential because of fear. Maybe there is someone here and you are a talented gospel singer. But you're never going to be a gospel singer because of fear. Maybe there's someone here and you're a talented Bible teacher. But you're never going to be a Bible teacher because of fear. Maybe there's someone here and you are a preacher. But you're never going to be a preacher because of fear. And you see how fear blights our potential. Do you remember the Lord Jesus told the parable of the talents? And he told about a man who was going away, and he gave to his servants, one got 5 talents and the other got 2 talents and the other got 1. And the 2 men with the 5 talents and the 2 talents, they doubled. They went out and traded with their talents, and they doubled what they had, and they had an increased amount when the Lord came home, and they were commended. But then there was one man, and he had the 1 talent, and he was afraid of his Lord, and he went and hid his talent in the ground. And the Lord came back and asked him what he had done with the talent. And here's what he said. He said, "Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth." You notice why he hid his talent? Because he was afraid. He was fearful. And isn't that what stumps so many of God's people, being in the very heart of the work, being in the very heart of the witness for Christ? Fear. You notice fear was not an excuse. The Lord did not commend him because of fear, or the Lord didn't excuse him even when he had fear. It wasn't an excuse. Is fear blighting you? Is fear stopping you from doing the things that the Lord wants you to do? Paul says here, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So, fear can bring you into bondage. And fear can blight your potential. And then fear can do something else. It can bring a blockage. A blockage to witness. Now notice again what Paul says in the context here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 8 as he goes on. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Maybe Timothy had seen Paul put in prison. Because of that, he had become fearful to say anything. He was in Ephesus at this time, center of heathen religion, the great temple of Diana there in Ephesus. Maybe he looked around him, saw Christians being persecuted, and he said, he shut his mouth. He wasn't willing to stand up and count himself as a Christian. And because of that, the witness had been stopped. Because of that, the witness had grown dim. And I'll tell you this, child of God, the devil will exploit your fear. When it comes to witness, when it comes to outreach, when it comes to speaking to your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors about the things of God, there is the spirit of fear, the spirit of cowardice, the spirit of timidity, and how we all fight against it. But Paul says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The fear to go out into the open air. The fear to stand with the gospel. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And Christian, maybe we don't come to do what the Lord wants us to do because of fear. Maybe today, those of you who are not saved, that's the reason why you haven't come to Christ. Because of the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So we notice the definition of fear. And we have noticed some of the dangers of fear. But let's think now about the defeat of fear. How can this be dealt with? Well, I think it's very interesting here in this text of Scripture that Paul, under the Spirit of God, really gives us the steps that we take to overcome the spirit of fear. Notice what he says here. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. There are 3 things there that he speaks of. And I think that if we had those 3 things in our hearts, then that would enable us to stand against the spirit of fear. Notice what they are. Notice that we have power. Now, if we have power, we don't need to be afraid. And the power here is the power that is given of God. And Paul is reminding young Timothy here. Timothy is a gentle spirit, a timid sort of an individual. But Timothy, you have power. You have the power of God. You have the power of Christ to stand. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know, we can go sometimes, we lack confidence when we go with the gospel because we feel that we get nowhere. And sometimes it seems as if we don't get anywhere. But we need to remember the power that there is in the Word of God. The gospel can break down the stoutest defense. It can get into the most hardened of hearts. It can reach where no other can reach. And we should never be afraid of the old-fashioned message of the gospel. For it's a message of power. It's a message of power. Remember that the God of power has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Remember that he's always there at your right hand. It's okay, maybe if you were going to face the world and the devil on your own, you would have right to have fear. But we don't go on our own. We go in the strength and the power of God. So we don't need to be afraid. Afraid to speak, afraid to witness, afraid to stand, afraid to be different in this day in which we live. We have power. And then we have something else. We have the spirit of love. Now, how is that going to help our fear? Well, you remember what it says in 1 John 4 and verse 18. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Now, the love that is spoken of there is the love that exists between the Lord and his people. And he says, perfect love casts out fear. Now, the first thing it casts out is the fear of hell. The first thing that the love of God does when we come to that love and accept that love and accept the Savior, it casts out the fear of destruction. It casts out the fear of our sin, the dread of judgment, the fear of hell. All those things are dealt with, thank God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a wonderful thing. But you know, the more we get to know the Lord, and the more we get to know his love for us, so our fears go. Because we begin to realize that he is the God of providence. He is the God who provides for us day by day. He's the God who answers prayer. We perceive his love in all sorts of situations. And as we perceive and prove the love of God, so all our fear is gone. Remember when he was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, speaking to those who were fearful about where they would get their food and their clothing. He told them, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. The Lord knows our needs. The Lord knows how to meet us at the point of our need. And not only is there God's love for us that we perceive, but then as we go on, our love for him ought to grow and flourish and go on. And that's a great impetus for us to go out without fear. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? And he went where perhaps people would fear to tread. He went into crowds, murderous crowds. He went into the very heart of heathen worship with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why did he do it? Well, he gives us a little inkling when he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. It was his love for the Lord. It has been said that love is the opposite of fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And when we have such a love for our friends, and such a love for our loved ones, that we're not worried about what they're going to think, we want to tell them about Christ. You know, in many ways, sometimes the fact that we don't tell them and we don't say anything betrays a lack of love. We're saving ourselves. We're saving ourselves rather than trying to save them. We're saving our own hard feelings. Saving our own, what they might say to us. Rather than going and facing them with the gospel. But perfect love. A real love for them. A deep gospel love for them will send us out to tell them about Jesus, the mighty deceiver. So love gives us courage to go and face the battlefield for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only does love, or not only have we power and love, but then we are given a sound mind. A Christian has a sound mind. It's not a sound mind to go down to a Christless eternity. You're not in your right mind if you're going down to hell and doing nothing about it. A Christian is a sound mind. But actually the word here, which is translated as sound mind, is a word that means self-mastery, self-control. You have control over your fears, control over yourself. During World War II, General Patton, George Patton was in Sicily. And when the governor came and praised Patton for his courage and for his bravery, and the general replied, he said, "Sir, I'm not a brave man." He said, "The truth is, I'm an utter craven coward. I've never been within the sound of gunshot or in the sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had to sweat, that I had sweat in the palms of my hands." But years later in Patton's autobiography, and when it was published, he made this significant statement. He said, and I quote, "I learned very early in life never to take counsel of my fears." In other words, he didn't listen to his fears. Oh, he might have had sweat on the palms of his hand, but he went on into the battle. And the Lord will give you the spirit of self-mastery, self-control, self-discipline. We have that spirit, in fact. And not that he'll give it to us. He says here, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have it. Christian, tap into it. Get hold of it. The Lord is there to meet us at the point of our need. And not only have we power and love and a sound mind, I'll tell you what more we have. The Lord himself. The Lord is there to take away our fears. The Lord will counteract our fears. In Psalm 91, verses 4 and 5, it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." And he went on in verses 9 and 10. He says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." And the psalmist said, "I'm not afraid." Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm under his wings. I'm in the comfort of his presence. And think of it, men and women. Here's the psalmist in the place of comfort, in the place of warmth. And didn't matter what was going on outside, he was under the strong wings and the strong protective power of Almighty God. We think of that psalm that we sung at the start. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Are you afraid today, Christian? Fearful about tomorrow. Fearful about yesterday. Fearful about life. Fearful about death. Thank God the Lord can take away our fears. We think of the psalmist in Psalm 56 and 11. He says, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." And we can be a mighty force. We can be an unstoppable force in this day in which we live. Go forward into the battle without fear. Because in God have I put my trust. Have you your trust in God today? Is he your Savior? And if he is, go forward today. The Lord can take away our fear. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's